And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Monday, January 2nd, 2017. Can you believe we're saying that 2017 is here? Hope everybody had a wonderful, safe new year, 2017. Hope it's a great one for everybody out there. 1:13 coming up on 1:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as many of you know, we lost a lot of really great talents in 2016. We did a tribute show remembering some of the great people we had on this program who are no longer with us but will long be remembered. One of those people who we had on this program sadly passed away in a very sad situation at the end of the year. Legendary performer Debbie Reynolds, who died at the age of 84 last Wednesday, one day after the passing of her daughter, Carrie Fisher, at age 60. A gentleman I always like having on. He's a many-time guest to this program, but he hasn't been on for quite a while. I'm so glad to have him back today because he was a dear friend of the wonderful Debbie Reynolds. So it's going to be great to have him on to remember her and talk a little bit about his legendary career, which we are so glad keeps on going. He is the comedian's comedian, the legendary Marty Allen. Marty, how are you?
Hello there. How are you, Scott?
Doing very well. Marty, how was your new year?
My new year? It isn't over yet.
Did you do anything special for New Year's Eve?
No, nothing. I'm a big football fan, so I spend all day going from one football game to the other.
You know,
that's how I spend my New Year's.
You know, New Year's Eve seems to be a big time for performers. Do you have a favorite New Year's Eve gig that you did in years past?
Well, no. Almost every New Year's at the beginning of my career, I'd be working. And it always turned out to be a lot of fun, you know. I enjoy doing my shows, so I don't particularly go out of my mind figuring I got to do something special. As long as the show is good and the audience is enjoying, that's my main concern. I can't pick one out from the other. It just seems that every New Year's is always a good show, and I get off, and that's my enjoyment.
Is a New Year's Eve crowd a good crowd? Is it different from other crowds during the year?
Well, I never had any problems. Usually I had a full audience. And they were there to watch a show, and they were not rowdy or anything. But you know, I go out, I do my job. They enjoy it, and that's my New Year's. I didn't have too many where they get up or get loaded or something, or start yelling at me or something. I just went out and did my job, and at the end of it, usually I'd be out after the show, either signing photos or something like that, and they said how much they enjoyed, and that was my the answer to my New Year's. I didn't have any problems.
You know, Marty, I want to talk about your career here because it's a fascinating career, and this is going to be a big year for you. But before we do that, I do want to remember
recently, Karen and I went to New York, and we appeared in the club two nights. And to be in New York is marvelous. I enjoy New York more than anything I think I've ever done. Well, I've had a lot of success there. And then they had a luncheon for me at the Friars Club where they honored me. And I was interviewed, and it was just another wonderful time in New York. I love New York more than anything because I remember when I first came in and played all the clubs, and then when I hit the big time, played the Copacabana, which was the number one nightclub in America. And to go in there, I opened the show for Nat King Cole, and I'm trying to think, I think Tony Bennett. And that's my enjoyment. And then Karen and I went to Florida and played at the Boca Raton. And we're going out to do a lot of one-nighters. And we enjoy it. And Karen is such a marvelous singer and a straight lady that it makes it all that more worthwhile.
You know, Marty, as I mentioned earlier on, alluded to, this year will be a big year for you. Coming up in about 3 months on March 23rd,
I'm going to be 95.
I cannot believe it. Is it hard for you to wrap your mind around 95? It's just
everybody kids me about that. They says, we can't wait for your 95th birthday. I says, neither can I.
Did you ever think you'd still be performing at 95?
Well, I had no idea. I just, after Steve Rossi passed away, and I was doing different shows and television and doing one-nighters. And then when I met Karen and heard her sing and then found out she was great as a straight lady, we found that we had a whole new exciting experience, and that's the way it's been. And we enjoy doing the shows, you know.
You know, Marty, we all want to know this. How in the world do you make it to 95, still get up and do performances? Do you have a special diet? Do you exercise? What's the secret?
Well, I take care of myself, Scott. I get up in the morning, I do exercises, and then I work on different, finding new, depending on what's happening in the world, and try to find jokes, you know, to bring it up to date, and that's my day, and I do a lot of. And, you know, I take vitamins, I do my exercises, and I try to make my day a filling day. That's the way I am.
You know, Marty, it's kind of interesting because early in your career and through your career, you were a little, not a big guy, but you were just a little a little husky. And a lot of people feel that's not good for you, but it certainly worked out for you okay.
Well, I've watched my weight, Scott, and I've come down quite a bit. Back when I married Karen, I was chubby. In fact, when I did the Big Valley with Barbara Stanwyck, I was a lot overweight. And then finally, I started going to the gym. And then eventually I did it at home. And I do that all the time.
You know.
And I try to stay in condition. That's the way I am.
Do you approach.
And I have no problems, you know. Thank God.
Absolutely.
It's just that my day is spent working on my act and keep myself in condition.
Do you approach a show any differently at 95 than you did at 35?
Well, how do you mean that?
Do you?
No, I can still walk out, Scott.
No, I mean, do you?
I might get on the stage with a cane, and then I put the cane away and just go out and do my job.
Well, you were a very, I remember some of the things you did. You were pretty physical on stage. Are there things you would not do now that you did then?
Well, I don't do any backflips, and the dancing is not the way I was. At that time, I was a... When I left high school, I was a jitterbug dancer. I could go for hours dancing. I loved dancing. And, of course, it's a lot different today, you know. I don't jump around on the stage the way I used to.
What?
But I can go into a little bit of. We still do routine ending show with a song and dance, but my dancing is a lot different than what it was when I was wild.
Well, there is a great picture for people to look up online if they'd like to of Marty Allen dancing with former First Lady Betty Ford.
Oh yeah, that was something. My closest friend was Ernie Borgnine, the actor Ernie, and he and his wife were going to the White House. They were invited guests, and Betty Ford, at that time, my first wife passed away, and Betty Ford heard about it, and she said, "Why don't you bring Marty Allen with you?" And they asked me, and I didn't know if I wanted to go or not. Finally, Ernie says, "Well, you know, it's a change, and you can't sit there and think of your wife passing and all that." So I decided to go with him, and it turned out to be what happened was Betty Ford said to me, "I know you're quite a dancer," and I knew Betty Ford was a dancer because she was involved in one of the great dance troupes. And I said, "Well, you're a dancer, you want to dance?" So we went in the ballroom after the dinner, and I asked the guy if he could play an up-tempo song, and he said yes. So they played "I Feel the Earth Move," you know, Carol King song, and Betty and I start dancing, and the guests, they all were applauding, and President was yelling, "Great, great," you know, and it was terrific. And it was fun.
You know,
and she is, Betty Ford was a lovely, lovely, classy lady, and I enjoyed it very much. And that's one of the fond memories that I have.
You know, Marty, this is an amazing life you've led. Not only did you dance with former First Lady Betty Ford, but you were on, and I hope people remember this, the Big Ed Sullivan Show, February 1964, which is the night the Beatles appeared. You were also on that show.
They always ask me, "How many Ed Sullivan shows have you done?" I said, "I did more than Ed Sullivan." he loved Steve Rossi and I, and he knew we would never do anything off color, and I knew the way he ran his show, and he knew we would not do anything that would disturb him in any way, And then he says, I'm putting you on a show with a group coming from England. And I said, who? He said, the Beatles. Well, I had known somehow I was very interested in groups at that time. And I knew how special they were. And I knew when they came to the United States, they would cause a commotion like no other act ever did. And he asked us to be on with the Beatles. And that was one of the great moments in my career. And it was fun. And one of the funniest things was they didn't know who we were. And I ran over to John Lennon. He was getting ready for their time that they were going to do. And I walked over and I said, John. And he looked up and he sees this wild-looking guy with the crazy hair. And he says, yes. And I says, do you know a lot of people mistake me for you? Well, he collapsed. He got us so hysterical. It looked like he wasn't going to be able to play. When I said to him, it was fun, and it was something that I always remember as one of the great moments in my career.
It was just one of those historic moments. And I tell you, for the listening audience, Marty, I want you to hold the line there for a second. I want to go back to the Ed Sullivan Show, New York, February 9th, 1964. Here were the introduction of the Beatles. The man on the line, Marty Allen, was there. Here's a little trip down memory lane.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Tell you something, I think you'll understand. When I say that something, I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. Oh, please say to me, you let me be your man. And please say to me, you let me hold your hand. You let me hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand.
The Beatles on Ed Sullivan, 1964, February, one of the most historic moments in television history. Marty, you were there that night. When you heard that scream, what did you think?
Well, I said something that really got a scream out of all them kids when I walked out and said, I'm Ringo's mother. They start screaming. Maybe they thought I really was. Anyhow, Scott, it was one of the, like I say, it's one of the great moments in my show business career.
Marty,
there were many wonderful moments in my career, working with Sarah Vaughan, working with Ella Fitzgerald, Steve and I doing a show with the Count Basie Band and Nat King Cole, working with Frankie Lane, working with Tony Bennett, working with Patty Page, all the, but to me it was just part of my career, and the fact that I was able to do a good job and work with these kind of people, this was a great part. I look back on it with a great deal of warmth, it was something hard to explain, and to work with Joan Crawford and to work with Barbara Stanwyck. Oh, these are moments when emotionally very fond memories, Scott.
I bet. Marty, I want to tick off a few things here that are traits of Marty Allen, and I want you to tell me where they came from. The hello dare. Where did that come from?
One night, we were in Philadelphia doing a show, and Steve asked me a question. I kind of blanked out. So I looked at Steve, and I said, hello there. And he looked at me and says, what? I said, hello there. And I heard the audience start laughing. I heard people yelling, hello there. And I thought, oh, my God, I found a catchphrase. You wait all your life to find something like you want to buy a duck or I'm a bad boy. Some kind of a saying that associates you as a personality. And before I knew it, it caught fire. And then we start doing different things in the act that involved where Steve would ask me, here's so-and-so from another country, and I'd go, hello there, and it caught fire.
Absolutely. Another trademark of Marty Allen, the hair, the crazy hair. Where did that come from?
The what?
The hair? The hair.
Well, I don't know. When I started getting haircuts, I always caught cold. So finally I said, I'm not going to get a haircut. Next thing I knew, it started to grow wild. And then I noticed that people were hysterical laughing at the wildness of my hair. And it was another thing, like, hello there, my hair. And it was just things that happened to me while I was on stage. And I thought would benefit the hilarity that they were laughing at. So I didn't care. And people used to say, well, you look like a Zulu or something like that, you know. But it just caught fire.
It worked very well. Marty, there's something that I think most people don't know about you, and I'm hoping you'll be able to tell us the story. You were involved in World War II.
Yes.
What can you tell us about your experience? There's a significant experience with you in World War II.
Well, I wanted to fight for my country, and I went down, and I had a perforated eardrum, and my mother thought that I wouldn't be accepted. And when I went down and they examined me and everything, I passed the test. And then at the beginning of my career during basic training, which was in Florida, I was in the entertainment department. And I did all kind of shows for the guys. And I thought that was what I was going to be in. But next thing I knew, I was in the Air Force. And I was sent to Italy as part of the ground crew for the B-24 heavy bomber airplanes. And that's where I spent most of my days in the service. And it's another form of my life that I think about so many times.
Now, is it...
And I can well understand how important it is to be good to the veterans that come home from any war and fight for our country. And anything you can do for veterans, I do. And I think everybody should respect them for the fact that they fought for our country. That's important.
Now, Marty, wasn't there an incident that earned you a Soldier's Medal for bravery?
Yeah, I got involved. They were refueling an airplane, and it had 4,000 gallons of gasoline in the truck. And in order to do the gasoline, there was a motor on the back of the truck that put the gasoline into the airplane. And the two guys were up on the wings refueling, and the motor caught on fire. And the two guys jumped off the wing, and everybody ran away. And I don't know why I did it. I got in the truck and pulled the truck away from the plane and checked the airplane fully to make sure there was no fire either in the front of the plane or in the back. Next thing I know, they came up with the, you know, with the snow hose, and I came out of the airplane, and they saw what I had done, and they investigated and found that I had saved a possible disaster, and I was awarded a Soldier's Medal for bravery. Mm. And that's it.
What an amazing story. You know, Marty, you were teamed up with Steve Rossi from 57 to 68. That was so popular, all those appearances on Ed Sullivan. Why did your style work so well with Steve Rossi?
Well, he was a wonderful straight man. He was a great singer. And he knew how to react to my physical being. And it just seems we cooperated with each other. We never had any arguments over any of our routines, and we never had any temperings between us. And we just were very fortunate that, you know, we respected each other's talents, and that was important. And he was a wonderful, a really good straight guy. And we had many wonderful things together that made the act move. And I was very fortunate to have such a nice guy as part of my act, of our act, I should say.
Why did you guys separate in 68?
Well, after a while, we had done so many things together that it became continuous that we kept doing, going back to the same places. And then I got calls to do different things, and he got calls. So we separated very amicably. And we remained friends all through our lives together. And he got involved in one aspect of show business, and I started doing daytime television, and I was on Hollywood Squares and Beat the Clock and Password. And then I started doing acting, and that's the way we went, but we remained friends all through our lives together.
And unfortunately, Steve passed away back in 2014. How do you remember? Tell me about what it was like when you heard that he passed away.
Well, it's hard to explain, Scott. You know, what could I say? It happened, and that's the way life is. You never know what's going to happen.
When you look back on him today, what do you remember?
Pardon?
When you look back on him today, Steve Rossi, what do you remember?
I remember a very talented and a very warm human being. And it's hard to explain, like the terrible tragedy of what has been happening lately.
And speaking of that, we do want to talk about that. So sadly, last week, Debbie Reynolds passed away.
Yeah, Debbie, the only thing I can say is she was a wonderful talent, but more important, she was a very warm and kind human being. And that's what I remember about her. The best way to explain Debbie is she was not only talented, but a very classy human being. And it's a terrible tragedy what happened.
She was really one of those ladies who could, she could sing, she could dance, she could tell jokes.
Oh, yeah, she was multi-talented.
You know, Marty, last year so many people were lost, and that's one of the unfortunate things when you live a lot, nice long life. All these people leave. How do you deal with loss?
Well, yeah, what can you say, Scott? You know, there's no way to explain. Those things happen, and you just... you know, you just feel emotionally for them as individuals, and feel emotionally if they were in show business, and you feel emotionally for their talents. And what can you say? All you can say is God be with them. That's all.
You know,
that they rest in peace. That's all you can say.
You know,
but there isn't much more you can say to that.
Marty, you in the late 60s, when we talk about military service, you made a Hello There tour of military hospitals in the United States. What was it like to visit with the injured veterans and soldiers?
Well, when you're in service, You know what the guys and the men and women are doing, and I always felt that I must serve them in some way. And the fact that I had a talent and they knew who I was from television, that I was going to go on tour, and that was just what I intended to do. And I felt that was important in my life. And I went to different hospitals, and I didn't just do shows, Scott. I went bed to bed, take photos, sign autographs, tell jokes, and that's very important to me in my life. And in our act, we tell people how important it is to help the veterans that come home from different wars, and anything you can do to help them and show the respect for what they've done, that's important to me. And I always feel this way, and that's the way I am, and that's the way I feel.
You know, Marty, I would have to imagine going bed to bed with these soldiers who have been hurt had to be difficult. Is it hard to make, is that a hard crowd to make laugh? Is it hard for yourself to go bed to bed and see the after effects?
No, I go with the attitude that if I can give them a little bit of cheer, a little bit of warmth, as a personality, I can do it all the time, and I think everybody who can do something for a veteran should do it, because they are the most important part of our lives.
Is there anything in your career yet, Marty, that you have not done that you still want to do?
Well, no, I feel I've done a great career, and as long as I can keep going, I'll keep going. I enjoy doing shows, and as long as the audience is want to watch us or book us, then we go ahead and do our job. That's the way I am.
What do you make of the state of comedy today? When you see young comedians, is there anybody you like? What do you think? How has it changed through your time?
Well, I don't know too many. When I go to see a comedian, I go to enjoy. I don't go to steal his act or take his jokes. I go to be entertained. Every time Don Rickles comes to Vegas, Karen and I always go to see Rickles or Rich Little, and this is important. That's the way I am. I just go to be entertained. I don't go to criticize, and I don't get involved with any of their problems or anything that they do. I just accept them as an entertainer, and that's my life.
What makes you laugh? When you want a good laugh, what makes you laugh?
Well, what makes me laugh? I never know where it's going to come from. And I'm not in Washington. If I was in Washington, I'd probably laugh a lot better. Or a lot more.
Do you enjoy, what do you do in your spare time? Do you have any hobbies?
Well, I read a lot. I love reading, and I work on my act, and that's my life.
You know, Marty, we have about 5 minutes left here, and I'm fascinated by this, because a lot of people try to be funny. When you go up on stage, how do you know if a joke is going to work or not? How do you craft a bit, a segment, to make it funny?
Well, I either do something very topical or relating to myself, and so far I've had success, and I don't sit and worry about whether I'm going to do a certain joke or anything. And I ad-lib a lot. I find things that are funny depending on what the situation is. And I just enjoy entertaining. And that's it, Scott. I just enjoy what I'm doing.
Do you ever foresee a day when you would not want to go on stage anymore?
No, I don't look at life like that. I just go out and do my job, and I'm very happy that we are accepted, and that when the show is over and have people coming over and telling me how much they enjoyed us, that's my payoff. That's all I want. I just want to have people enjoy, and that's my life.
And we're,
when I'm out doing the show,
and we're still so
I don't sit and think about things like that.
And we're
just go out. Karen and I do our job, and when the show is over and they say how much they enjoyed it, that's my satisfaction.
When you're out doing your show, if you were going to explain to somebody, because you're still out doing it, what could they expect to see in the Marty Allen Show in 2017? How do you explain it?
You come see us. That'll answer your question.
I'll have to do that. Marty, when you go do the show today, what is a typical joke you might tell? Could you just give me something from the show?
No, I can't. You got to come see it.
I got to pay the money.
Because I don't know day to day what I'm going to say or do. And I ad lib a lot, so that's the answer, Scott. Just say to me, Marty, I enjoyed having you on the program. I'm going to come see you.
That's how I'm going to end this. But Marty, before I let you go, 100 years from now, when people look back at your life, you also have a great book out, and I do want to mention that. Well, what made you decide to write the book?
Well, people wanted to know the different things that happened in my career. So I put down everything that I possibly could remember, and that's why the book is a success, because it tells the whole life from the early days of my life to what I'm doing today.
And again,
that's the answer.
That book is Hello Dare, and you can get that on Amazon.
Amazon.com
by Marty Allen. Marty, when you look back at that boy you were 95 years ago, what was he like? We'll wrap up with the beginning. What was your childhood like?
Childhood, what was it like?
What was my childhood?
Yes.
What can I tell you? I had a good life. I had a wonderful family, two sisters and myself, and we enjoyed our family, and it's in the book, Scott. Don't try to come up with questions that you can't get in the book.
Marty, my final question, and I appreciate the time today. When you look back at your life, how would you like to be remembered?
How would I like to be remembered?
Yes.
Well, you'll go on the air and talk about it. That's how I'll be remembered, Scott.
And I will talk about what a good time we had. And I do want to let people know the website is MartyAllenHelloDare.com. The book, Hello Dare, can be gotten on Amazon.com. And if Marty Allen comes to a city near you,
Scott.
Come see it. Marty Allen.
Thank you for a good interview.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Okay, Scott.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Marty Allen, one of the true originals in show business, that can be said without doubt. Can you imagine being there February 1964 on the Ed Sullivan Show when the Beatles were on? I think really, aside from Ringo and Paul McCartney, he would be the last one left, because George Harrison is gone and John Lennon is gone and Steve Rossi is gone and Ed Sullivan is gone. So I think those are the three. 95 years old. Can you believe that Marty Allen is still out there going strong at 95 years old? What an amazing man he is. And again, the book, Hello Dare by Marty Allen. What a true original. We do have a few minutes left, so if anybody has a question or comment, feel free to give us a call. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I do want to recommend that you stay tuned the rest of the week from 12 to 2 in the afternoon. We have some very interesting guests coming up tomorrow and Wednesday on this program. Thursday, we'll have some big guests, I'm sure, as well. I do hope everybody had a great New Year. Remember, you can get us on the internet, www.wwgh1071.com, Or you can get us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM and clicking like for exclusive comment. We do have on our webpage, by the way, WWGH1071.com, there are archives to all the shows we did in 2016 and now into 2017, thanks to our webmaster, Adam Lepp. So we thank him for keeping that website updated. We're also on Twitter now. We're on Twitter at WWGH Radio, at WWGH Radio. So you can get all our tweets on Twitter. So we're in the Twitterverse now. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Oh, and if you have a mobile device, you can get us free on any mobile device live by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH Radio. It is absolutely free. We also have emails. My email, Scott at WWGH1071.com. Charlie, Adam, Sean, and Terry all have emails as well. You just type in their first name and then at WWGH1071.com. And we certainly love hearing from you. And of course, we're located in the Marion Center Mall right next to the Crafter's Coop. If you ever want to drop by and drop us a note or leave us a letter, office hours 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Again, we want to thank the amazing comedian, soon to be 95 in March, Marty Allen, last of his generation, for being on the program today. And for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. You're listening to WWE.